Hello and welcome to Strong Tower Radio. I'm your host, Tom Bezier, on location at Windmill Island Gardens in Holland, Michigan. My co-host today is the Windmill Islands Gardens Development Director, Matt Helmes. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you, Tom. Glad to be with you.
We're looking forward to taking this virtual tour with our listeners today. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father in Heaven, just thank you for the opportunity to enjoy this heritage site with environmental and agricultural backgrounds, and a place that many of our listeners either have been or want to come and see for themselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Matt, what a privilege to be here. You know, talk about returning a visit of people who've been here. I came here as a child, and of course, when we did tulip festivals in the May, we would also tour Windmill Island also. So I assume I was not the only person that ever did that.
No, we get a lot of returning visitors. It's always great to have people come back.
Absolutely. And if you haven't been to Windmill Island after this visit, you'll have a place you want to visit. Matt, tell us a little bit about Windmill Island. Tell us where we're sitting. We're in a beautiful setting here. We're in the morning, and some of the horticulturists. It's part of the name of the organization. We always call it Windmill Island, but it's much, much more than just an island.
It is. We point out our name has three aspects. We're Windmill. We have that Dutch heritage aspect that we'll talk about. We also have an island. We have a beautiful natural setting here. We're just off of downtown Holland, but we have 36 acres of serenity, beauty, and nature. And we have those gardens you mentioned. And that's the part that got added on later, because we had gardens and we didn't trumpet that out too loud to people. We wanted to let them know, hey, we got beautiful stuff to come see here for 6 months and more of the year.
And as our listeners can hear in the background, we've heard sounds of birds singing and the calliope. We're sitting right next to it. Tell our listeners about this acreage, and let's start with the history.
We'll talk a little bit about, so Holland, Michigan, if you're not familiar with our area, the western part of Michigan is really known for being a Dutch American community. It was dates back to 1847. Albertus van Ralte came here from the Netherlands with a group of reformed folks who were persecuted in the Netherlands. They were also having some bad economic times, so thousands of them trekked to West Michigan in the Holland area first, and then they spread out north, south, east, and west. Not so much west, that's Lake Michigan, but north, south, and east, the Grand Rapids area included. And Holland is still the epicenter of that. Now there's about 250,000 Dutch Americans of some degree here in West Michigan. But a city like Holland, folks were really interested, you know, how do we show off that Dutch heritage when people would visit and say, what's Holland all about? The first idea was, let's get a Dutch windmill, and we'll talk about the windmill extensively here. But they end up getting a windmill, and then they built a whole park around it, and that's our 36 acres. So what we show people here is not only that windmill, we have a Dutch street organ as well that came over from the city of Amsterdam after World War II. We have our kids carousel that came over in the 1970s. So we try and show off that Dutch heritage, a lot of replicas, buildings, and exhibits. But then we show off that heritage to everyone. We try and connect with them in any way, different interests. You don't have to just love Dutch history to come. You can love gardens, you can love music, you can love food, you can love floral beauty, you can love science and math. We show off those stories here, Tom. So we try and show off something for everyone.
So it's you will not be disappointed if you come to Windmill Island.
You will not. We get these last couple years, we had about 140 to 150,000 people a year. So we get a lot of people who come from all 50 states, and actually we usually average about 40 to 50 different countries around the world. We do get a lot of those Dutch and German visitors who visit to see, you know, how are these Dutch American folks showing off their Dutch heritage? And we just love, the biggest compliment I can get is when Dutch visitors will say, it felt like a little slice of home here. We saw the windmill, we saw the canals, we saw beautiful Dutch flowers, and it felt like we were at home, that it wasn't just kitschy, it wasn't a tourist trap. But you were showing people this community's history, and you were showing it in a modern way. You weren't showing just stereotypes with wooden shoes and tulips, but you were trying to introduce them to a little slice of not only Dutch history, but West Michigan history as well.
So why don't you outline what we're going to be doing today?
Yeah, we'll take you around the gardens, Tom. We're going to take you through our beautiful gardens and talk to some of our horticulture staff. We'll take you out to our windmill and show you that's the star of the show. The queen of the park is our Dizwan windmill we'll talk about. And then we'll talk about some of our programming that we do here. We do a lot of things to draw people from, again, all around Michigan, all around the United States to come here for different events with all different themes.
Well, Matt, as our listeners have heard the various gators and stuff going back and forth, this is an active garden, and the first thing we're going to do is go see part of the horticultural aspect of the garden. So are you ready to go?
Let's go check it out, Tom.
Okay, thanks. Matt, we've transitioned to another area. It's kind of like we've got greenhouses around us.
We do. That feels very Dutch, too. The Dutch are well known for their greenhouses, which gives us a great story to tell in our gardens with our floriculture and horticulture. It's true to our park's theme, true to our heritage and history here at Windmill Island. And the thing most people think of when they think of the Netherlands and they think of flowers is tulips. And here in Holland, we have our Tulip Time Festival, and we're one of the main locations for that. So we're gonna stop by here, and we're talking to Betsy Morton, one of our gardeners, who's really the lady who makes all the tulips happen here at the gardens. Betsy, can you tell us a little bit about tulips and how we get them in the ground?
A lot of hard work. Well, it's a year-long cycle. I'll jump in at the end of tulip time.
So that's basically June?
Second week of May.
Okay.
When our gardens here are full of tulips, and I'm busy evaluating them, and formulating my order to put for next year's bulbs, because the Netherlands, our broker in the Netherlands, would like that order by June 1st. So the tulips are barely finished, and we're already placing the order for the next year.
Do you do the tulips? Do you put the same color ones in the same location every year, or do you get creative? And
we do some variation, but for instance, if a field is completely cleaned out of its bulbs, then we can do that. But otherwise, we do a little bit of trying to repeat at least the same color in the same area, so that if you get that rogue bulb that's left from the year before coming up, it's not going to stand out too much.
Sounds like a gardener's secret.
But there's so many varieties to choose from, and we do have some favorites that we repeat every year, but we always like to try a few new ones every year as well. We ask our broker in the Netherlands, you know, what's new and glorious, and he'll give us a few suggestions. So
what is your favorite tulip?
In which color?
Oh.
I probably have a favorite in each color. there's so many beautiful ones. That's just not a fair question. I cannot answer that. but there's definitely some that don't perform that well, so we don't order them again or repeat them. But we do get fresh bulbs every fall. So those tulips we order in June will come in at about the end of September, beginning of October from the Netherlands. We place our order together with the city, and they come all together in a semi-truck and get loaded into the city cooler, and they have to be inspected by the state, right? The mm-hmm. state agriculture, before we can plant them. And then when our planting process begins, it takes us here at the island about 3 weeks to get our, usually around 145 to 150,000 tulip bulbs in the ground.
That's just here. Well, this is a significant tulip site.
Oh yeah. Together with the city, our order is usually around 450 to 500,000 tulip bulbs that come from the Netherlands. So we have two forms of planting here. We have three quite large tulip fields where we do, you know, sort of the agricultural style display of rows of tulips, and we plant those with a modified onion planter pulled by a tractor, and it takes us a good two full days, sometimes three, to get all the tulips in the ground in our fields with that machine. And that accounts for, I'd say, about 110,000 of our bulbs. And the remaining 40 to 45,000 we plant by hand. So picture one person with a stand-up tulip planter and another person with a bucket of bulbs. So we do the punch and drop.
Who gets to do the drop? Is that a hands and knees?
Those of us who have more seniority and are getting old joints. So what we have then is about 3 acres of pretty manicured gardens around here. We have a lot of perennials, but then we have those areas that are set aside for tulips. So those are all filled with those tulip bulbs, and then some are scattered through the perennial beds. So our display, really, you can see both tulips used in gardens throughout, perennials, and tulips in fields.
What is the duration of tulips? They kind of have a short blooming period. What is the maximum?
Well, it depends a lot on the weather.
Okay.
And there's early blooming, mid blooming, and late blooming tulips. So you can have a very long display. We get a few of the early ones and a few of the mid blooming ones, but we concentrate our order on the late blooming ones because of the timing of tulip time here. So we really have a concentration of those later blooming tulips, but we, in good weather, we get a good solid 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks of beautiful bloom. It's a lot of work
for
3 weeks, but
that's what you're known for.
We get how many visitors
we
in
get
that
about
time?
75,000 visitors, and we do always try and tell them those tulips just come in May. We get people who show up in August or September and wonder where the tulips are, but we try and educate them at that point.
Yeah.
That the tulips are, they like the little bit cooler spring weather, so they're come and gone by June 1st.
So yeah. With all that excitement in that concentrated season in May. What is your horticulture for the rest of the year?
Okay, as soon as those tulips aren't pretty anymore, we rip them out.
Kind of heartless, huh?
It is heartless. Well, we get a lot of people sort of hanging around asking if they can have them. And so we've started, as we rip them out, selling bagfuls of tulips for a very low price to our visitors. We also have a community, we participate in a community-wide tulip dig. Sometimes with the City of Holland. This year we did it on our own because we needed to do it later than they did it. But an amazing amount of people come with their 5 gallon buckets to dig out tulips for $10 a bucket, or
yep.
Is that it? And I was just amazed this year. We had them dig in our largest tulip field, so probably about 60,000 bulbs there. And we let them start digging at 9 o'clock, and that field was cleared out of every bulb in it by 9:55.
Wow, 1 hour.
Looks like a crowd of locusts descended out of the tulip field.
It was. It was just crazy.
So what do you do the rest of the year? You've got to maintain it for the full season of tourists, the other 75,000 the rest of the year.
Yes. Well, all those places, not the fields, but all the garden beds where we had tulips are now empty. And we plant annuals there. And that's why we have this production greenhouse. All of our own annuals.
What is the size of this greenhouse for our listener? It looks like it's about 50 by about 25. That's one here. You have a greenhouse on the other side of us.
Yeah, this one is our tropical conservatory. So that's more of a display house that we use for year-round. Well, not year-round because we're not open in the winter, but we have a tulip display in there and a video going about tulips. But then the rest of it, we're working on telling the story of the Dutch horticulture experience around the world and plants that they discovered and brought back to the Netherlands. So we're kind
including,
of in the process of
including
that.
The tulip.
Well, yes.
That actually came from Turkey and that area.
And Betsy, really, I'll toot her horn. She has an artist's eye as well. So when we replant with all the annuals that she's grown, so she both is the horticulturist and the artist, she grows those annuals, most of them here from plugs or seeds, and then we plant those out in our gardens in absolutely beautiful ways. It's not just what you'd see in, you know, your neighbor's yard. We have different themed gardens, but I'll let Betsy talk about how she selects those and what we do with our theme every year.
Yeah, for about 8 years now, we've done a theme, a different theme every summer. So this year's theme is celestial summer. So I chose plants based on a celestial theme. And there are a lot of annuals that have sun, moon, or stars or planet name in their name. So I had a lot of fun picking out plants. So we have about 20 beds that are usually the supporting our theme. So this year we have a Lake Michigan sunset bed, a Northern Lights bed, solar power, full moon, Milky Way, and then we have several the individual monthly full moons like the strawberry moon and the flower moon and the harvest moon and blue moon. We have a starlight, star bright bed, so you get the point. So all of these annuals are supporting that theme.
And this makes the rest of the year keeping the gardens beautiful for our listeners. Is it possible to walk into the greenhouse or has it already been displayed?
This greenhouse is totally empty now because there's just a few stragglers left here in the cold frame, but everything's been planted as of about a week ago. We finally got most of the annual planting done. So now we transfer from the planting season to the
nurturing
maintenance, which is basically weeding season.
But it's amazing when you come as a visitor. It's multiple seasons. Before the tulips even bloom, we have daffodils and hyacinths and mm-hmm. things that are beginning to bloom. Mm-hmm. Then obviously tulips with all of our visitors. And then after that, we try and tell them, come back in the summer. We have what we call our peak week in mid-July. July and August are gorgeous here for dozens and dozens of varieties of annuals, mm-hmm. plus all of our perennials that we have mm-hmm. on site. It's just a neat time to visit. We tell people, if you're not in love with tulips, come then. It's less people,
yeah.
and the gardens
yeah.
are just as glorious yeah. with a wider variety
yeah.
of flowers.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing. We've seen a lot of visitors start to come either back in summer or come in summer to avoid the big crowds.
Yeah.
And then it looks good, really, yeah. through September until October when we get ready to pop those tulips back in again.
Yeah.
Well, very good. Well,
yeah.
thank you so much, Betsy. I really
you're
appreciate
welcome.
This opportunity because you're kind of the person behind the scenes that make this park beautiful. Matt, we've moved into the windmill, which is the star of the show here, the part of the reason that we're all here, which was kind of the history of this. Take over the conversation from here.
Yeah, so we're in De Zwaan Windmill. This windmill is brought from the Netherlands. We're the last mill that was allowed to be brought from the Netherlands. We got permission from the Dutch government back in the 50s and 60s. They wanted to find a way again to show off our community. They reached out to the Dutch government and they were just beginning to value their heritage sites. But due to our large concentration of Dutch American population here, they let us have the last one.
Wow.
One went to Aruba and we got the very last. So this mill, when it came to America, was not in great condition. They bought it for about $4,000 from the small town of Vinkel in North Brabant, in the southern part of the Netherlands, actually. The mill at that point had been shot up during World War II. It wasn't in great condition. But they had a millwright take it apart, bring it across the ocean, and rebuild it here in America. And as you can see, it's a working mill today, so we're sitting in a room surrounded by all old parts. And we try and show those off. It takes work to keep it going, but it's a working mill, so we brought Alex with us. Alex Ash is one of our millers. And Alex, just tell us a little bit about how the mill operates and what it's like to operate a windmill.
Sure. To operate a 300-year-old windmill is definitely quite the honor. It's a lot of cross knowledge. Like, you need to know maintenance, you need to know history, and you need to know food production. And on top of just that, you also need to understand how to work with a crowd. Because any time that the windmill is in operation or we're moving it, we have people here that are oohing and aahing as it moves.
Which we can hear in the background.
Yes, here. Exactly. I'm currently in the process of being fully trained to start grinding again. So we do operate and have the windmill spin, the blade spinning and showing the people that it still moves. And then soon enough, we'll be grinding again and producing flour. But it's quite amazing. I tell people that, you know, while I am an operator and I do some work, really the windmill is an automated machine. From the process of us dropping the flour down below and putting it in the brown bag, the windmill will literally carry it up to where our grindstones are, and then from there
grain travels up to the top.
Yeah, right next, actually right here in the elevator right next to me.
What's the floor are we on?
We're on the third floor right
now. And how high is this compared to the whole structure?
Yep. So we're about 30 feet in right now. So we're just under half. Fourth floor is 40 feet, and then all the way up to the top of the cap is another 40. So that's 80. And then you add another 40 to the top of the very, very top of the blade when they're extended perpendicular. So that are right around 120, 125 feet total.
So this is as you come across the causeway between one side of Holland to the other, the north side to the south side. This is quite an impressive sight, rising above the marshes, this 140-foot structure.
Absolutely, and it's even better when you get in a kayak or a canoe and paddle up the river and view it. And I've done it personally, and I think that's one of the reasons why I picked the job, because it was such an awestruck image to see. So it's very fun, and it's once again something that I'm very humbled by in the position. So
where the grain goes to the top, so the millstone is at the top.
It's on the fifth floor. The windmill is a total of seven. Okay. The sixth and seventh floors are maintenance, where the gears are, where I could do my work when I need to check in the windmill. The fifth floor is where the heart and the work of the windmill is actually done. So once the flour gets up to the fifth floor, my job from there is to add that or the wheat berries into the hopper. From there, I would let the windmill start spinning, allowing the stones to start moving as well. And the flour would travel from the fifth floor through the stones and be ground, and then eventually land right here in our third floor where we are. Right behind these walls here is a 3,300-pound stainless steel storage bin, and that's where our flour lands before we bring it down to the second floor where it gets packaged. So it's really a big circle operated by the wind and gravity. You know, the wind takes the flour up, gravity takes it down after being ground by the wind.
So you said to make the windmill turn, does the wind always blow from the same direction?
No, absolutely not. Here in Michigan, our wind is a lot more fickle than it is in the Netherlands. From the millers that I communicate there, they typically tell me they have to change the wind maybe once or twice a week, one direction or another. Any given week, I could change from the south one day to the north, to the west, the east, you know, all within 24, 48 hours of each other. Most of the time we get good westerly winds, and when we get those winds, that's when we really like to spin. But we do see some of our easterly winds tend to be a little bit more powerful and more potent, and that typically follows us pre-exists a storm coming or some sort of a front coming through. So
what is one of the most frequently asked questions you get about the windmill?
Is it going to spin today? Probably. and that's a very great question, because there's so many factors to it. A lot of it has to do with what's the weather like today. Are we having good weather? Is the wind going to extend itself for a few hours, or is it going to change direction and speeds on us? And then also, like, what have I been doing, or what projects do I have going on? And is it something that I feel that I have the time to go through the process and treat the windmill and its check-in respectfully and with proper steps and procedures? So there's a lot of factors into it. After that, it's going to be, when is the flour going to be grinding again? And I tell them the same thing I tell everybody else, and as soon as I can. I have a background in this kind of stuff, making things work and doing maintenance on top of education, but making a 2-ton stone work without a lot of previous training isn't something you just jump into. So taking my time, learning the limits and limitations of the machine, and then once that stone starts moving, we'll be producing flour for the community again. So
yeah, it really takes a unique person for a unique machine. So it's not something you can go to the next town over and ask you know, how do you operate your windmill? So Alex has got a great unique position for this beautiful unique windmill that a lot of people like to come and visit.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're very
that.
Welcome. Yeah, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
Matt, we're coming towards the end of our wonderful tours. Who are we with right now, and where are we at?
Well, now we're standing out in a nice open field of a wedding field. We have about 25 weddings here a year, and we are actually with Andy Bork, who's our programs coordinator. So she doesn't handle the weddings. We have another person for that, but she handles all of our great programs that we put on for our community throughout the year. So Andy, we've just talked a little bit about what we've done lately and what events you're putting on for both visitors who come to the park and locals.
Yeah, so we always start the year off with a run-of-the-mill 5K on our opening day. So we had that on...
What day is that usually?
Our opening day is the second Saturday of April. So okay. This year it was on April 15th. And then in May, we of course have Tulip Time, with all of our tulips and tons of visitors. And then after that, in September, we have our annual Art on the Island Gala. And that's a contest for local artists. They can submit different artwork inspired by the island. And we have a suggested celestial summer theme to go along with our garden theme this year. So that should be fun to see all different kinds of artwork come in. And that is on Thursday, September 7th from 6 to 8 p.m. And then we finish the year off with our brand new Magic at the Mill. Last year was the first year for it. And that was on the first three Fridays and Saturdays of December, which we plan to run it that way again. So it's at night. We decorate the entire island with lots of beautiful holiday lights. We have holiday music on the street organ to mix it up a little bit. And then there's a big synchronized light show in our tulip field of 1,000 LED tulips that dance and light up synchronized to holiday music. So that's always really cool to see. And we also have a visit from Sinterklaas, who's the Dutch Santa. So that's fun for kids to get their picture taken with him and meet him. And we also have some kids activities. So there's just a lot of good stuff going
wow.
on.
All year, 6 or 7 months a year here at Windmill Island Gardens.
Yeah, it's a great place to visit. Again, a lot of people think of us at Tulip Time, Tom, but all through, as we mentioned, all through the season, it's beautiful to see our flowers. Once those are pulled, it's still a great park to just walk or bike around. And then again, to see it lit up with Christmas lights was absolutely gorgeous last year. So we know that was definitely a first annual event that I don't think if we wanted to get rid of, we could. It was so popular. But Andy does a great job of making sure we have things going on as many seasons as we can here, as many seasons as we can get outside here in Michigan.
Now, Matt, tell us how our listeners, they've been found interest in the Windmill Island Gardens for starting in April, going all the way almost to October. How do they get here, and is there a website or a telephone number that they should get further information, get tickets?
There is. The nice thing is we're conveniently located for a trip. If you're in town in Holland or want to make a special trip to Holland, we're right off of downtown. Plenty of shopping and parking and eating and drinking right in downtown Holland. And we're just off of that, off our causeway. Check out our website at windmillisland.com. You can learn about how to get in. You can learn our prices and our hours. But again, we're here through April through October. And follow us on Facebook and keep track of our many events that we have going on through the season if you want to pick a special day or if you want to pick a little more calm day to be here and just enjoy the park. We recommend anywhere from an hour and a half to 3 to 4 hours, depending on how much you really want to stop and enjoy, relax. We have plenty of benches to just enjoy a beautiful day. Again, it's great to have 36 acres of beauty right next door to bustling downtown Holland.
And you can always go to the lakeshore.
You can. That's what I recommend too. If you come at tulip time, that lake's awful cold yet. But if you come in July or August, you might even take a dip. It might be in the 60s or 70s for you.
Fantastic. Matt, what a pleasure to be at Windmill Island Gardens. And we're looking forward to returning.
Thanks, Tom. The privilege is all ours.
Well, I'm Tom Majeure for Strong Tower Radio with my co-host Matt Helmus. Until next time, God bless. Bye now.